We're opening the Bible to Isaiah chapter 65, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 17. And as we've been reading Isaiah and Jeremiah through the Bible, you've probably noticed that Isaiah and Jeremiah are both challenging the people of Israel with their attitudes towards God. And so that's what we're doing this morning too. We are challenging your attitude about why do you go to church? And when you look at this text beginning at verse 17, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. So what we're doing today is new, different. The past events will not be remembered or come to mind. Although you probably will think about how we normally do church as we do this morning. Verse 18. And be glad and rejoice forever in what I'm creating. I will create a new Jerusalem to be joy and its people to be a delight. Verse 19, God says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. And the sound of weeping and crying will no longer be heard. So here's the challenge this morning. What would it be like? What will it be like when God creates this new heaven and this new earth where the point is gladness, joy, laughter? And could it be like this? And I'd like to introduce to you Sheepman Dave, Paul Huntley, and Billy Bible Letterman. David has a special offering text for us.
Where could those ewes have gone? They're all females, too, you know. Now I'll try to call them. Who could that be? Okay. Beulah! Now you sheep are supposed to be up here at the Brethren Baptist Church, I think. Up here in Kalita. Yeah, it's the north pasture, not the south. North. Yeah, I know, Ram, he told you the wrong thing. You remember that beam that used to be in the barn, that big 12x12 that's broken in half? Yeah, he rammed it, and his brains are mush, so you can't listen to anything he says. So I'm going to have to sing up here by myself. It's some kind of a fleecing, they said. Come up, and Bill said to fleece them. Know what that is? You shear them, right? Okay, quit band back there, and I'll see you later. Okay. All right. Well, you know, David, in the Bible, he wrote songs out in the pasture when he's out warding off the lions and the tigers and stuff. And I protect my sheep, too. And I haven't warded off any lions and tigers, but I hit a couple coons. They're trying to steal my sweet corn, but I did write a song while I was out there. And David remembered his. He didn't have anything to write on. I can't remember him, so I'll try to see it here. I tried to write it in Greek, because I know that was a scriptural thing to do, and I know a little Greek. He's a tailor that lives down the street. And I took my pants to him because he said, you rip a these? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, I mended these. Okay. So we'll try to sing a little bit here. Got a tune out. Thank you. see with these Bibles. I am Dave, the wandering shepherd, looking for my lost sheep. I am not anything like you expected. If you've heard of Little Bo Peep, she was very prim and proper. From her curly head to her tiny feet, but she was just a lonely female, and all those ewes could not relate.
Give a big hand to Sheep Man Dave. What's that? The big guy's not ready yet? Do another song? Oh, my gosh. Do we have lyrics? Oh, yeah, here we go. Anyway, big guy's not here yet, the moment you've all been waiting for. So let's just entertain ourselves with a little song. Boy, these glasses don't help me be able to read the words here very well. And you know, if you don't want to sing along with me, whenever it says X naturally, shout it out. Because even if you can't sing, everybody can shout. I want to read that book that moves me. Here it goes. Gonna read about, oh, so far you'll see. I take my fill, Peter, Paul, and Mary. And I read about them all in. All right. Well, upset Jews chase followers so far. Well, upset Jews chase followers, oh, so far. You threw me off. Fright spread them so far. True good news they tell. Disciples of the Lord, that's who they are. It's time to say that book is so swell. Well, I bet you'll find out that it's really groovy. There's no way that you can disagree. The biggest tool that Christ had wasn't what slime. Just read about Saul in. All right. Well, it's really key. Well, yes, this book's the one and only about spreading around the grace that's given free. We'll touch your heart no matter what the version. We'll just read about it all in Acts naturally. All right. We'll upset, stay with me, followers, oh, so far. Fright spread them so far. True good news they tell. Disciples of the Lord, that's who they are. Yeah. Yes, I must say this book is so swell. One more verse. Yeah. Well, I bet you find out that it's really groovy. There's no way that you can disagree. The biggest tool that Christ had wasn't once slime. Just read about Saul in
Acts naturally.
Good. Well, just read about Saul in Acts naturally. Yeah, thank you very much. Now, the moment you've all been waiting for, Billy Bible Lovering!
Thank you.
pretty good audience, Paul. You never let them know we let them in here free, would you?
They never know that.
Hey, Paul, did you read in the newspaper the other day that there's two types of people?
There's just two types of people.
Yeah. There's one type that gets up in the morning and it says, "Good morning, Lord." And the other type get up and say, "Good Lord, it's morning."
Oh.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Paul, I've been doing a lot of weddings lately. Did you know that? Weddings every weekend. Actually, I was walking with my wife yesterday. I said, "What do we do on Friday night if we don't go to a rehearsal dinner, and Saturday if we don't do a wedding?" And she says, "I don't know. Stay home and work, I guess." Anyway, I was at this wedding, and one of the little boys that was at this wedding, it was the first time he'd ever been there, and he's talking to one of his friends, and he asked his friends, he says, "Well, how many wives can a guy have?" And his friend said, "Well, 16. 16, he says. He said, "Didn't you hear the preacher? Four better, four worse, four richer, four poorer. 16.
That's right. That's right.
Right. 16.
That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Then at another wedding, there was a little girl sitting there with her mom. First time she'd ever been at a wedding. And she was sitting there with her mom, and she says, "Mom, why does the lady have on white?" "Well, because white is the color of happiness." "Oh, happiness." A little while later, she says, "Mom, why is the groom in black?" "Black, yeah." Yeah, great audience we got here. These guys are really working this. Paul, you remember last week we had Sunday school teachers meeting? Marilyn may remember this Sunday school
teachers meeting. I remember it very well, yes.
Yeah, we were doing an inventory, and we were discussing the fifth grade class. Oh, no, the five-year-olds. And Sunday school teacher was teaching them the Ten Commandments. They're working on the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
That looks good. What is that you're drinking up there?
It's water.
Ah, water. Yeah, right. The boys in the band drinking water. How many of you believe that? Right? What do you think, Dave? Water?
Water.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, water. Yeah. Anyway, they were discussing the Ten Commandments, and the teacher had taught them, "Honor thy father and thy mother all the days of their life." Mm. And then the teacher said, "Do you know any other commandments that would have to do with treating your brothers and sisters?"
Huh?
And the boy responded, "Thou shalt not kill."
That's right.
Yeah.
Very important for you kids
okay.
out there.
Right.
Paul, do you remember when they asked him what the first commandment was, what they said? Do you remember that one?
I remember exactly what they said.
What did they say?
They said it was when Adam made Eve eat, or Eve made Adam eat the apple.
That's it. Adam, eat that apple.
Eat that apple.
First commandment. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're a little troubled by this response in our Sunday school class. Now, I'll warn you that up front. When they asked him the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not admit adultery."
Yeah, that's not.
That's a good thing we had a Sunday school teacher meeting. Yeah, well, anyway, they went on in the Sunday school teachers meeting. And they said, "Well, who can tell us?" They moved up to the junior high class and said, "Who can tell us something about God?" And one of the junior highers said, "His name's Andy."
That's right.
Do you remember why they said Andy?
"And he walks with me, and he talks with me.
Andy does, right?
Andy.
Well, then our junior hires also had one other thing that they knew about God. They said, "God is an artist." And when the teacher said, "How do you know he's an artist?" They said, "Well, don't you know our Father who does art in heaven?"
That's right.
Oh, like that one is good, Paul. Okay.
No, okay.
Well, the other day after church, two of the young men were walking home, and they were talking with their mom, and one of the young men says to his mom, "Mom, when I grow up, I think I'm going to be a minister." "Oh, that's okay. That would be a good profession. Why would you want to do that, son?" "Well, if I have to go to church on Sunday anyway, I figure I might as well have fun, stand up there and yell at them rather than sit and listen."
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah. Okay. There's one concern on that one.
You can relate to that,
okay,
can't you, Billy?
Ladies and gentlemen, there was a different two boys that were walking home. Different two. Remember that Sunday not long ago I was preaching on the devil. Remember that? That was the other dramatic illustration, right? Dealing with the devil. Well, they were talking about the devil on the way home, and the one boy says, "Hey, what do you think about all that Satan stuff?" And the other boy was walking along, and he says, "Well, remember Santa Claus? Remember how that turned out?" "Yeah, he's probably your dad." Okay. Well, I got two grandpa stories for you, Paul. You know, I'm having a lot of fun doing grandpa things here. And here's two grandpa stories. The other day, I was reading a story to my grandson. We were sitting there in my straddle lounger. And as I was reading the story, he was reaching up and he was brushing my wrinkled, bearded, old face. And then as I'd be reading, he'd touch his face. And then he'd reach up and he'd touch my face. And then he'd touch his face. And after a little while, he says, "Grandpa, did God make you?" And I said, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, God made me a long time ago." And I started to read and he says, "Grandpa, did God make me too?" "Oh, yeah, indeed, honey. He made you just a little while ago." And then my grandson says, "He's getting better at it, isn't he?" Hey, guys, they like that one. Yes! Woo! Oh, got to finish strong, sheep man. Here we go. One more. My grandson and I were out eating tomatoes in the garden. And we were sitting there and time was passing. And he looked over at me and he says, "Grandpa, do you know how old you are?" And I wanted to tease with him. So I replied and I said, "Well, I'm not sure." And he says, "Grandpa, just look at your underwear. Mine says I'm 4. Says I'm medium. Okay, here's the last one. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the last one. I promise I'm going to close on this one. It's not like normal preaching where they say they're going to close and it doesn't, but this... this is the last one. Well, Paul and I were talking the other day, and I was telling him that we need to put a new roof on here next summer. And Daryl and I had been talking about how much that was going to cost. And I told Paul, you know, if I could just get everybody that's in church today to commit to giving us $100, we'd have enough money to raise the roof, the fleecing you were talking about, Chief Mandate.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I said, now, here's what I'm going to do. At the end of my monologue, I'm going to challenge everybody who's willing to stand up and give $100 to stand up. And I said, "Paul, do you got music that go along with
that?" I found just the song for you.
What is it?
And now for our national anthem. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly. Okay, we got them all up there. We got them all up. That's good.
Okay.
Thank you. What do you think? Good song? Yes.
So
speaking
song
of songs, we want another one?
Oh, yeah. I think you got one.
I think we have a commercial.
Wait a minute. We got to do the top 10, don't we?
Do that first? No.
Well, that's it. I don't have your song queued up there yet. Yeah, we got to do the top 10.
Okay.
You all been waiting for the top 10, and... Sheepman Dave's wife, Sue, who is interestingly absent, she's all the way to California when she heard what we were going to do. Sue gave Sheepman Dave and I this book. She was listening to one of our competitors one day on the radio, and they were advertising Why Men Hate Going to Church by David Marlowe. Is it Marlowe?
I guess so.
Yeah, Marlowe. And so Dave and I both read this book, and so our top 10 this morning actually come from page 114. They're officially from page 114. And here's the top 10 for this morning. Paul, can we have a little intro music here for the top 10? Okay, why men hate going to church. Here we go. Number 10. I don't have the time.
Right.
I don't have the time. What do you think? Is that a valid? Yeah?
Yeah,
I got some men out there nodding. They're saying, yep, I relate to that one. Number 9 on the top 10 this morning. Church just doesn't work for me. What do you think? Good one? We can probably come up
with that. I work for church.
Now. We better go to number 8. It's boring.
Yeah, boy.
Boring. Is church boring? Yeah, you got the thumbs up on that one. Yeah, thumbs up. It's boring. All right, number 7. It's irrelevant to my life. Going to church is irrelevant to my life. That's the number 7 excuse. How about number 6? Oh, no, I don't like the preacher. Oh, what are we going to do with that one?
Get rid of him.
Electric pews. I'm thinking electric pews would be good for that one. All right, come once and never leave. Number 5, I just don't want to talk about it. Okay, I don't want to talk
about it. About that sheep man, Dave?
Yeah.
Sound like a good one?
Yeah. Okay, number
never.
4, it's too long.
Oh, you got that right.
Too long.
Way too long.
That's usually what they say about my monologue, but I don't know about church. All right. Getting down there. Number 3. They ask me for money too much. Leasing them, huh, Dave?
Yeah, right. Oh, boy. Hope you wash that off.
Leasing them. Yeah. All right. The number 2 reason, Why men don't want to go to church? It's for
wimps.
Wimps. Yeah. All right, Paul. You have a drum roll for the number one reason why men hate to go to church. This is it. Number one, officially out of the book, and it is. There's too many hypocrites there. Too many hypocrites. Okay, Paul, you got a song for us as we go to
Yeah, I got a serious song here. It's about Jonah. Sing it with me. There's a town he was to warn, but he ran. Old Jonah flees, and then he winds up whale cuisine. Should have told Nineveh's strife, but he failed to get it done. Could have drowned, but he came clean. God forgives, ergo Jonah he saved. With the smelly submarine, everybody. Jonah lived in a smelly submarine. Smelly submarine. Smelly submarine. Spent 3 days in a smelly submarine. Smelly submarine. Smelly submarine. Sailors threw him overboard, 'cause he disobeyed his own Lord. As the plank began to sway, Jonah lived in a Yankee submarine, a smelly submarine, a smelly submarine. I lost myself. Jonah lives in a smelly submarine. It's so cheesy, doesn't it? Smelly submarine, smelly submarine. At the end, with a big sneeze, fish is sick because Joe's not fish feed. Repeat after me. He got puked upon the beach by the smelly submarine. Yeah! Jonah lived in a smelly submarine, a smelly submarine, smelly, yeah. Jonah lived in a smelly submarine, smelly submarine, smelly submarine. Jonah lived in a smelly, spent 3 days, smelly submarine, smelly submarine. Spent 3 days in a smelly submarine, smelly submarine, smelly submarine.
Yeah, good job. Well, Dave, I heard the other day about a guy and his wife, and it got to go on a trip to the Holy Land. And they went to the Holy Land, took his mother-in-law along with him. Can you imagine
Greek?
That? Yeah, I took it. No, he wasn't Greek. They went to Holy Land, not Italy.
Okay.
And while they were in the Holy Land, catastrophe.
Oh, no.
Yeah, his mother-in-law died.
Oh, good. No.
Oh, yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, bad. Sad.
Bad. Oh, sad.
Yeah. Mother-in-law died. So he went to the mortuary, and Jewish mortician says to him, well, you know, we can bury your mother-in-law here for $150 in the Holy Land. Nice service, nice grave. Good Jewish price.
Yeah.
Or we can ship her home to the U.S. of A., and it's $5,000 to ship her home.
Oh, boy,
so he sat there and he pondered it a little bit, and he says, yeah, well, let's ship her home.
Oh.
And he says, what? Ship her home? $5,000 to ship them home? It's like you amended these? What are you thinking? You know, $150 bucks here. And he says, well, you know, a couple thousand years ago, they buried a guy here, stayed in the grave 3 days, and he rose again.
Yeah.
I just can't take the chance.
Yeah. Good thinking. Yeah. I would do that, too.
Hey, I heard you and your wife got into a discussion the other day.
Yeah, it was a real kind of a intense discussion.
Intense discussion.
Yeah.
Did it kind of blend into an argument?
No, really, it got a more intense.
More intense discussion.
Yeah, real intense. We were driving by some farm, and there were some ammonites out there, and donkeys and goats and sheep and... My wife said, relatives of yours? I said, yeah, in-laws.
Yeah, in-laws. Yeah, the goats, the mules, the pigs, in-laws. Yeah, got it. All right. Well, Paul, you better bail us out with another song. We're sinking fast over here.
I think this better be the closer. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
submarine's going down. Yeah. It's definitely smelly over here.
Well, we tried to get Garth Brooks, but he couldn't make it.
You got the hairline for it there, buddy.
Thank you.
Want a cowboy hat?
Notice I took my glasses off so I can actually see the words. Well, he does. He's got suits, taking many roofs. Man, that dude has been everywhere. When God would say go, he didn't say no. He'd get a move on, get himself there. Though he used to despise those Christian-like guys, he's working on the Lord's campaign. Well, this is one Jew who's given the world a clue. He did not do it in vain. 'Cause when God sends, then Paul goes places. Yeah, he's been around and his fear faces to show the way. Yeah, he does obey. This guy has hit all the bases, missionary life. He embraces, oh, when God sends, Paul goes places. Well, at first he was wrong, till Christ came along. Now his name is Saul no more. He saw a bright light. He lost his sight, wound up at some disciple's door. Well, he used to be mean, but the light he has seen, he uses his powerful pen. Those letters he'd write, and now those verses we cite. Well, then we're forgiven, everybody. 'Cause when God sent, then Paul goes places. He's been around, and his fear faces to show the way. Yeah, he does obey. Well, this guy has hit all bases, missionary life. He embraces, oh, when God sends, Paul goes places. One more time, the verse, chorus. Because when God sends and Paul goes places, yeah, he's been around and his fear faces to show the way. Yeah, he does obey. Well, this guy has hit all the bases, missionary life. He embraces, oh, when God sends. Paul goes places, yeah. Oh, when God sends, Paul goes places. Thank you, everybody.
Right. Let's hear it for Paul Huntley. Yay. And Chief Andy. Okay. Now, what's the point of this elaborate illustration? What is the point? Here's the point. Why do you go to church? Do you just come here for the show? As you and I have been reading Isaiah and Jeremiah, God was very upset with his people because they would go to church just for the show. Why do you come here? Do you come here just to watch the entertainment? No different than watching the David Letterman show. Just watching what they do, but you're not doing anything. You're just sitting there, pew potato. Not couch potato, but on Sundays, are you pew potato? Pull your sleeves up and get serious with me. The reason we come here is to love on God, to worship God. That's the reason we come here, and to enjoy His love for us. But you've got to be a participant, not just a spectator of the show. Last week when I talked to you about the mission of this church, the mission of this church is first and foremost worship, personal worship, Where when you come, it's to get tight with God, to love on God, let God love on you. And secondly, for you and I to love on each other and enjoy each other. Now, I didn't bring all those gourds up here for you to get in church because, you know, I told you the other day, if you don't like stuff, throw tomatoes. But those gourds are hard, you know. If you don't like the illustration that we did, tell me about it. But here's the point. We got to get serious with God in our personal life. It's not just a comedy routine, this life that we live. It's a serious thing. And personal worship is a vibrant part of that. Now, do I think that God intends for us to laugh? Yeah! He's the one who thought it up. Have you ever figured out who gave you those tickly spots? He did. And they're to be tickled. We should laugh. We should rejoice. When sin is dissipated and there's a new heaven and there's a new earth, we will laugh all the time. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sadness. And in the pathetic world that we live in, I think if you and I have a really good time every day and we're laughing and we're rejoicing in the midst of what's going on, and every time somebody tells you a dirty joke, you got two clean ones to tell them, to make them laugh and tell them that Christians can laugh. Christians can have fun. Christians should be the happiest people on earth. Because we have a personal, vibrant worship relationship with God. So I'm not going to pray this morning. I'm just going to take the last 60 seconds, because it's 29 after, for a silent prayer. And I want you to get real with God. Let's pray.